I'm trying to grow a little beard like Brother Joel, but I got this is the first time I've ever, this is the longest I've ever had it, and it's in patches. So if you have like a tip on how to grow a beard, let me know. Just, huh? Buy one? Yeah, that's, yeah. If anybody try Rogaine, see if it works for the face too, right? Got your back, brother. All right, so, hey, this week I was just spending time with the Lord. I'm in a new facility, and honestly, it's awesome because I get to spend time with the Lord. It's real chill, it's real laid back, and God is opening amazing doors in my life and in my family's life. And most importantly, man, I see the growth of this church, and how many people are showing up on Sundays and Wednesdays, and it's awesome. You guys saw last Sunday was packed. Both services were packed, amen? So you're definitely in a good place. If you haven't met somebody that you've never met, I see some new people. I saw some friends that I met on Sunday. They're back there. So say hi to some people that you don't know, amen? Amen? As the band was playing, man, I had such a blessing. It was such a blessing just to hang out and not have to play, amen? It was such a blessing just to minister, just to the Lord, and God was ministering to me, amen. I was just worshiping with all my heart, and the second song they sang, the You Are the Source of Life, it was just a confirmation of what God has for his church tonight, and that all we need is Jesus, amen. It's a simple message. You probably read the scripture hundreds of times, but I want you to be open and be receptive to what God has for you tonight, amen. So today's message is called Keep Pushing. Keep pushing. Tell the person next to you, keep pushing, amen? If you guys remember what Pastor Drew spoke about on Sunday, it was down but not out, amen? See, when we're down, we're not out. And when we get out, we just have to continue to press forward and keep pushing, amen? So tell the person next to you, keep pushing. Hey, I give you permission tonight, if somebody's falling asleep, keep pushing, all right? If somebody's falling, I know people work today. I know it's not going to be long, I promise. But if you're falling asleep, stand up. I'm not going to get upset. But I don't want you to miss what God has for you tonight. Amen. I'm excited for what the word of God that's going to be brought forward tonight. Honestly, this whole week has been, I've been like extremely sensitive this week. Not like in like a sissy way. I don't know if the sissy is a good word to use in church, but I've been spending time with the Lord at night, and honestly, like, I was watching a movie with my wife last night, and there's like a part where it's like this guy is acknowledging this young man, and it's kind of sad, and like a single tear came out, and I was like, what's going on with me? But I know that the Lord is really working in my personal life and in my heart, amen. And honestly, it's awesome to be sensitive, because when you're sensitive, you're able to hear from the Holy Spirit, amen. So I love Jesus' ministry. All the stories that I read in the Bible when I was growing up, when my dad would just read bedtime stories to my brother and I loved the ministry of Jesus. All right, man. You guys don't have to say amen or anything, but you guys are like serious. Like, what is this going to say? And you know what? John writes in John 20, 31, they're going to have it up here. John writes, it says, and truly Jesus did many other signs. He did a lot of stuff. It says, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the Bible. There's no room. There would be no room in a book for all the wonders that Jesus did. Amen. But it says, verse 31, it says that, but these are written that you may believe. Everybody say believe. See, these things that God decided to have in the holy book, in the Bible, are for us to believe. And check this out, that Jesus is the Christ. There's no other way. Amen. We just sang that. There's no other way. But Jesus, and it says that the Son of God, and that believing, everybody say believing, you may have life. When you believe, you have life, and life abundantly, amen. See, there's a lot of people that are living, but they're really not living, they're just existing. They have no life. I said there's people who are just existing. They're just walking around like zombies. They have no purpose, but we have a purpose. We have Jesus, amen. See, it's sad to say, but there's people, I've been to churches, not this church. This church is alive. I said this church is alive. I said I've been to churches and honestly it's like they're just singing songs. They're just lifting up their hands. But they're not living. They're not experiencing the goodness of the Lord, amen. And sometimes that comes because of circumstances, that comes because of situations, because of sickness, because of disease, because of divorce, because of separation. But just let me remind you tonight that whatever you're going through, Jesus could handle it, amen? I said Jesus could handle it, amen? See, God wants us to live a life like a child of God, like an heir of God. You and I have some promises that other people don't have. We have, amen, a ton of promises in the Word of God. See, and I wrote this when I was at work. It says, stop living off leftovers. That's a chicken mentality. See, chickens, when you just dump a bunch of crumbs, they all come and, you know, they get all crazy. Let me have some chicken sounds up in here. Come on, Tony. Help me out, brother. See, but God didn't call us to be chickens. He called us to be eagles, amen, and to soar above any problem, over any situation, any circumstance, amen. Hallelujah, yes. Amen. Hey, some of you guys need to get, hey, turn to the person next to you and say, you better get excited tonight. Tell them Jesus is here, amen. See, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, amen. I'm going to give you guys, I haven't even started with my message, so stand by, amen. Let's go to this next verse. It's real simple, but I want you guys to keep these notes, amen. Go to 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of what? But of power and of love and a sound mind, amen. So when the devil comes and tries to lie to you and scare you and remind you of all the dumb things you've ever done, just tell him, hey, you know what, devil? The Lord has given me a spirit of what? Of power, amen? And of love and of a sound mind. All right, you guys ready for this? I love this scripture so much, this next story, because this lady kept on pushing. I said this lady kept on pushing, amen? We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And like I said, don't say, oh, I already know that story, Isaac. I didn't ask you, amen? Amen. You guys like to be treated bad, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, now a certain woman, everybody say a certain woman, had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Have you ever taken your car to the shop and it comes out worse than you first took it in? You know what? Just recently, they hit me. I was driving home from work, and it was when it was like a rainy season. Oh, it's still raining, but this car hit me from behind, and it fled, eh? It was a hit and run, and I was like out of it because it hit me pretty hard. And then so they hit me, and then my car slid into the divider, not the divider, but the guardrail, and my car was smashed up. And then I tried to look for the car. Are you kidding? My car wasn't even working. So then I took it to the shop, and then they said, okay, man, it's a total loss. And it really broke my heart because that's my little car, you know. But, hey, and it worked out. But, anywho, I took it to my dad's friend's shop. I'm not going to refer you to him. I'm not going to tell you his name either. But he painted my car. He was like, it'll be like $1,200, and I'll repaint your car. So I went, and then I picked it up at night, so it looked beautiful. I was like, oh, my gosh, it looks so nice. It looks blue, you know. It looked real nice. But the next day, I saw it in the light, and it was like purple looking, you know. So I called him and I said, "Hey, brother, what's going on with this? Like, I paid you $1,200. Your job is to match the paint." So he said, "Hey, you know what? Bring it back and I'll fix it." But my example is, this lady went to different physicians and she only grew worse. That's a bad life right there. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going. But when she heard about Jesus, come on, when she heard about Jesus, I said, when she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus. That's where it all starts, people. When you were jacked up and you heard about Jesus. When you were sick and you just proclaimed the name of Jesus. See, there's people in here that you're probably dealing with your children. They don't want to come to church. You're probably dealing with a spouse. Think about Jesus. Think about the Lord, amen. Think of all the good things that he's already done for you in the past. When I think about the goodness and what he's done for me, I want to jump. I want to shout. I want to sing. Amen. When she heard about Jesus, it says that she came behind him in the crowd. Everybody say crowd. And touched his garment. And it keeps saying that, verse 28, for she said, if only I may touch the clothes, I shall be made well. She believed, and this is my first point. The first thing you have to do is believe. Come on, say believe. That's the first thing. She heard about Jesus, and she believed that if she just touched his clothing, that she would be whole. Amen? That's where it all starts, church. And the second thing she did is she mobilized. She did something about it. Amen? So point number two is mobilize. Everybody say mobilize. See, a lot of people hear about Jesus, but they just stay in bed. They say, oh, Jesus will come and touch me because he's good and he's great. Yes, he is, but God is looking for your faith. God is looking for your action. He wants you to mobilize. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Let's continue to read. Immediately, so she touches Jesus' clothes, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Amen? See, I want to stay here a little bit. It says that she pushed through the crowd. Have you ever, been in line at Disneyland or, and somebody cuts in front of you? Oh, you'd be giving Fuchi faces, right? Like, hey, what's up with this person right here? What's up with this lady? What's up with this person? Things are all that in a bag of chips just cutting in front of me. Imagine what this lady had to go through, and people were talking smack, saying, hey, why are you cutting? Hey, we want to see him too. But she didn't care. She pushed on, amen. She continued to push forward, amen. Continue pushing tonight, church. Don't worry about what other people say. See, a lot of people miss the blessing because they don't push. A lot of people miss the blessing because they don't push forward. They're like, I don't want to be an inconvenience to no one. I don't want people to look at me. I don't want people to talk smack about me. So I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to wait for my turn. No, God is saying tonight, I want you to push tonight. Amen. I said, I want you to push tonight. Amen. Can we continue? God wants you to push. Not just tonight. I love what Joe said. Hey, our worship doesn't end when the music ends. We continue to push on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday when we feel sick, when we feel sad, when we feel depressed, when we feel stressed. We continue to push, amen? We got to know that there's this a scripture in Psalms chapter 118, verse 17, it says that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, amen. When the devil comes to you and you go to the doctor and they say, you know what, we found cancer, we found diabetes, we found this, you know what, get up, start working out and start to push and say, you know what, God, I will not die, I'm going to live and I'm going to declare the works of the Lord in my life. I'm going to declare, when people say, you know what, your son will never come to church, your daughter will never come to church, your husband, your wife will never come to church, they're a lost cause. No, you start declaring, you know what, my son is not going to die, my husband is not going to die. Speak life over them, amen? And once they come, we're going to declare the works of the Lord, what God did in our lives, what God did in their lives, amen? Amen. I'm almost done, all right? I'm almost done. Keep on pushing, amen? Tell the person next to you, keep on pushing. See, Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord... I said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. See, God is speaking to someone tonight. He's speaking to me, amen? Married men, let me speak to you for a little bit. I can say that because I'm married. When the devil comes and tempts you with his nonsense, you better declare life over your marriage. You better declare that God has his hand all over your marriage. See, the devil's real smart. Well, he's really not that smart. Let's not give him that much credit, amen? But he does wait for the opportune time. There's an awesome man of God. His name is Ray Mesa. I've known this guy for a long time. If you don't know him, I mean, he's kind of OG. He's an OG. And if you don't know what an OG is, he's like the original. All right? He's one of the originals. Like, I look up to this guy, and I look up to the way he ministers. God uses him in a mighty way in the prophecy and discernment. He just dedicated his life to the Lord, all his life. But he was sharing a story when he was preaching, and my dad shared this one of the men nights. But I want to share it with you, married men. He was gonna go to a conference up north, and he took the Greyhound. Don't ever ride the Greyhound, man. That's funky, smelling buses sometimes. Yeah, trust me. He said he sat on the bus and he started to pray, Lord, you know, I want to be a blessing to the men, to the people that I'm going to preach to. And he said that a good-looking woman got on the bus. Everybody say, uh-oh. And this good-looking lady, I don't know what his, you know, good-looking definition for him is, but he said, I trust this guy. He said she was good-looking. So she said that there was a bunch of empty seats and she chose to sit next to him. Everybody say, uh-oh. Check this out. So she started to compliment on how good-looking he was. She started to compliment. They're like, oh, there's something about you, sir, that's attractive. And he said that in his mind, the devil is tricky. See, the devil's, may the Lord rebuke that guy. But he said that he started to believe what this lady was telling him. And he was like, I am good looking. And he said that the Holy Spirit said, hey, Ray, do you need to go to the restroom? And then he said, no, I don't need to go to the restroom. In his mind, he's having this battle in his mind. And she keeps complimenting him. And then the Holy Spirit said, Ray, you need to go to the restroom. So he said he got up and he went to the restroom. And he says that he opens the door and there's like a big, long mirror, right? And that the Holy Spirit said, look at yourself, Ray. Are you really that good looking? He said, you're chubby, you're short, and you're prieto, you're dark. Are you really that good looking? And he said, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, the Holy Spirit just continued to minister to him and said, you know who's trying to get your marriage over there, right? So he said, yes, Lord. He said he got out and he sat somewhere else. So let me tell you, it's an awesome story, but married men, don't believe what the devil tells you. Don't start, oh, brother, you look so nice in that shirt. Trust me. Keep pushing. Keep pushing past your lustful. You know, if you're dealing with lust, push that. Keep pushing past that. Don't believe it. The only person that should matter in your life is the Lord and your wife. Amen? Trust me. That's all. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. But that story wasn't even in my notes. I'm just telling you, don't let what the Lord gave you, don't let the enemy take that away. And if you're struggling in your marriage, honestly, work at it. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Believe. Remember the points. Believe that God is with you, that Jesus is there. Mobilize. Do something. Buy her flowers. Mobilize. Hey, honey, you look really nice today. Take her out to dinner. Buy her a hot dog. Hey, and seriously, I deal with pride sometimes. Mobilize. If you've offended her, tell her you're sorry. That's a form of mobilization, amen. And keep pushing. Keep pushing, amen. Can we continue? I was able to hang out with Armstrong the first Sunday he was here, and I spent the whole day with him. And when you get around good people, make sure that you pick their brains. Make sure that you ask the Lord to, man, there's a ministry in his life that I ask the Lord, Lord, I want not that exact same thing, because I want my own thing, but I want to be used like Brother Armstrong. And he shared this story with the Spanish ministry, and it goes hand in hand with what we're speaking about, what God is speaking about tonight. So I want to go over this story with you guys, and we're going to start in the first book of Kings. You guys tired? I hope you're not. Yeah, push through your tired, amen. It says, and the Lord said to him, here he's speaking to Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. See, Elijah was ready to die. He was depressed. He was sad. The queen Jezebel had just slaughtered a bunch of prophets, and she was after this guy. She was really after this guy. They put a hit on this guy. Real, like, they wanted this guy. Everybody say they wanted this guy. And so he flees. He goes into a cave. And if you come to church, you heard Pastor Drew speak one Sunday about that God speaks to you in a whisper. I don't know if you guys remember that sermon, but this is where God is speaking to him in a whisper, and he says, and the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. God has given him instructions. Also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and Elisha. Everybody say Elisha. As Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Mehola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Say, in your place. So here God instructs Elijah to go and find these three guys and anoint them, right? So let's go continue. So it says he departed from there, and he found Elisha. Everybody say Elisha. The son of Shaphat. Now check this out. Who was plowing. He was a farmer. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed on him and threw his mantle on him. Pass me that mantle, brother. Let's just say this is a mantle, right? So Elijah, he comes, and he finds Elisha, right? He finds Elisha. Not you, brother. You're smiling. You smiled prematurely. So, not you either, right? So then Elijah passes by him, and he throws his mantle on Elisha, right? Sorry, brother. You're chosen today. And it says that the mantle falls over him, he understands his calling. Elisha understands his calling. There was an anointing that came upon him, amen? It says that, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. See, does this remind you of Jesus when he goes to the fishermen and he says, hey, you will no longer be fishermen of fish but of men? And it says that they left his nets and they followed Jesus. That same calling that they felt is the same calling that this guy felt right now. So it says, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow you. He understood his calling. And he said to him, go back again for what have I done to you? So Elijah's telling him, hey, man, what happened? What did I do to you? Elisha understood. He felt a calling from the Lord, amen. It says, so Elisha turned back from him and took the yoke, the things that used to support his family and him, the yoke and the oxen, and he slaughtered them. And check this out, and he boiled their flesh using the ox's equipment. So he gets the equipment that used to provide for his family, and he cuts it up. He uses it as wood, and he cooks his animals who were so good to him and his family and provided. He understood his calling, amen? And it says, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became a servant. Elisha believed the calling that the Lord had on his life. When he felt the anointing of the Spirit of God come on his life, when he felt when he felt that anointing, when Elisha comes, Elijah, and he puts it on him, he feels and he believes. He says, yes, you know what? This is different than from anything I've ever felt. This is more real than the little girl I met the other day, and she was so cute, but this was real. He felt a power that came over him, amen? Tell the person next to you, you better not be falling asleep. See, and point number two, it says that he arose. See, no, check this out. He slaughtered the oxen, and he threw this big party, and he says he followed Elijah. He mobilized, amen? He believed and he mobilized. He did something about it. If God is calling you, young people, tonight, if God is calling you, adult, tonight, it don't matter how old you are, if God is calling you, you better do something about it and believe and mobilize, amen? We're almost done. Go to 2 Kings. And it came to pass, check this out, now he's already following Elijah. It came to pass that when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. Everybody say, stay here. Please, for the Lord has sent me onto Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives. See, he had committed. He had believed. He had mobilized. Amen. He said, as the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. Now check this out. Verse 3. Now the sons of the prophets, everybody say the sons of the prophets, who were at Bethel, came to Elisha and said, hey, don't you know that the Lord is going to take Elijah? And he said to them, yes, I know. Shut up. Keep silent. See, people are going to come and try to distract you and say, hey, stay right here. Don't you know that the Lord is going to do, you know, the Lord promised you this, but this is happening. Hey, keep quiet. Keep quiet and keep on pushing. Amen. Then Elijah said to him, Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho together. Again, the sons of the prophets get up, and what do they say?